Blog Talk Radio.
Of the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to start off with Earth, Wind, and Fire. You can't have love, baby. You can't not. You cannot. I mean, you cannot hide love. All right, family. This goes from my heart to you today. I love you.
Oh,
good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Earth, Wind, and Fire, and You Cannot Hide Love. You can't hide love, baby. You cannot hide it. I love it, love it, love it. And you know what made me play this song? Because I really think the reason for Christmas season is love. I think people's hearts open more in this season, in this time. You see more giving, more thoughtfulness. People come out the way to go feed the homeless, give gifts to those who may not have gifts. And I love it. I love feeding the homeless. I love giving gifts to those children who wouldn't normally have a Christmas. I remember waking up as a kid in foster care with no gifts. And I remember what it felt like. And so it does nothing but warm my heart every year when I give gifts. Last year we were able to give 12 families Christmas gifts. And I was just so excited. I love the Christmas season. So I just want to thank God for this opportunity to come together each and every end of the year with love. You truly can't hide love, love in many forms. And so as we come together to recognize that there is only one power and one presence, and on this line, we recognize that great spirit that is known by many names, and we call it God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And I'm so grateful, so grateful. You see, today we're going to talk about belief. And we're going to talk about Jay-Z and belief, and we're going to talk about steps that he took to becoming very successful in his life. We're going to talk about five steps to shifting a limited belief. And so as we come together in the one thought right now, I just want you to come in this space in divine love. And as we center our mind and center our thoughts, removing in this right now moment any thoughts that are not serving our higher purpose. Removing any thoughts that do not serve any higher purpose in us right now. We want to become very intentional about the breath, recognizing that, family, that there is power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. And so as we become very centered, inviting and invoking the presence of God, the energy of our angels, our unseen spiritual guides, thanking God for the opportunity to be in this right now moment, just becoming very present. And one thing about focusing on the breath, it allows you to become very present in the right now moment. And so I want you to be intentional about the breath. And in this breathing process, I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart, through the nose. And then I want you to hold the breath as you breathe in through the nose. I want you to hold it. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. And I want you to breathe deep and then release the breath. And as you release, I want you to release everything. Limiting beliefs, lack thoughts, anything that does not serve your highest good. And so in this right now moment, I want you to be still and know that I am God. I want you to breathe, family. Let's breathe. And release, just release. And I just want you to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. And as you take in another deep breath, I just want you to come in this moment in gratitude, just simply saying, thank you, God. Let's breathe. And now release. God.
And in this right now moment, I want you to come in this space and just say, oh, Lord, give me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Create me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit, Holy Spirit. And let's take in another deep breath, calling and invoking the presence of our higher mind self in this right now moment, calling forth that greater version of ourselves as we breathe in, giving thanks for what is. Just breathe, family. Let's breathe. And release. And last time. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Divine, divine, divine Mother, Father, God. Oh, precious, come, Holy Spirit, God. Precious and Holy Spirit, come in this right now moment, God, and let us feel you in the atmosphere of our bodies right now, God. Let us feel you in the collective energy of this call right now, God. Let us feel your presence as we touch the hem of your garment, God, as you raise the consciousness of this call, as you raise the vibratory energy in this right now moment, recognizing that we are all that you are, and we are more than enough. Come, Holy Spirit, and let every word of my mouth come, and every meditation of my heart come. Holy Spirit, be so acceptable in thy sight. Come, Holy Spirit, and anoint our thoughts right now, God, that our thoughts will be your thoughts. Come forth, Holy Spirit, and anoint our mouth, God, that every word we speak, O Lord, will be your words, God. Oh, Mother, Father, God, I'm asking you to put a spiritual vision over our eyes that we may see in this right now moment, God, only the way that you see, God. Teach us how to see with a spiritual 20/20 vision, that we may only see the love and the light in those near and dear, and always those who come in our presence, that we can only see your presence, God. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to put a watch over our ears, that we can only hear the melodic sounds of your voice, God. That we will remove ourselves from speaking or hearing anything that is not of love, Holy Spirit. That we will be so anointed today with love energy that not come in our space, but love. You see, like the song we played this morning, you can't hide love, God. And so today, God, I ask you to manifest the love energy in us right now, God. Because you can't hide love. God, I'm asking you to open our hearts right now, God, so that we can feel the presence of your love in us right now. That we can feel you in our hearts right now, God. That we can feel you in our minds right now, God. That love will take over every cell in our body and return it to its highest vibratory, energetic expression of love right now, God. That even our cells will reek love today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bless every cell in our body and return it to its highest vibratory energy right now, God. I'm asking you to touch every living system in our being right now, God, and return it to love right now, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and come and bring every crevice and every space and every atmosphere and every molecule in our home, God. Let it return to love, God. I'm asking you to bless our spouses, our children with love right now, God. I'm asking you to open your windows, your gates, your doors, and your heaven, and let's take a love bath, God. Pour out your love upon us right now, God. And let us just feel the essence of your love in every being, every smile, every heart, and every eye, and every ear, and every place we go, God. Let us feel you today, God. Let us know that we are in your presence right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come, God, and anoint us this morning with a fresh anointing, God. Fresh anointing on over our thoughts, God. A fresh anointing over our minds, God. A fresh anointing over everything, God. I'm asking you to anoint our hands that everything we touch, God, will turn not just platinum gold, but turn to love, God. Everything we touch will feel the atmosphere of your love through the vibratory energy of our hands, God. To love, God. Just a touch of our love. They will feel your presence in just a touch of our love. God, I'm asking you to anoint our feet, that everywhere we tread, our feet shall be upon your holy ground, God. I'm asking you to let us feel the love in every space, every crevice, and everywhere we walk, God. That when we put on our shoes or socks or whatever we put on, that we will put on the shoes of love, God, an armor of love, God. That everywhere we touch, everything we come into contact, will feel your presence of love. Thank you today for love, God. Thank you for unconditional love. Thank you for the releasing energy that love gives us. Thank you for forgiveness today, God. Thank you for opening our hearts to forgive where we normally wouldn't be able to forgive, God. Thank you for opening our hearts, God, as you give us a clean heart and renew the right spirit in us, God. I'm asking you to come right now, God, and remove any pain, God, and return it to peace, God. I'm asking you to remove any unhappiness and return it back to happiness right now, God. I'm asking you to take our heart and open it, God, and let us feel the joy right now, God. Oh, let us feel the joy of you right now in our heart, God, down in our heart, God. Let us feel it right now, God. I'm asking you to touch each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking you to bless the, even the desires of their heart today, God. I'm asking you to bless their comings and their goings, God. I'm asking you to allow them to see in ways that only you have allowed us to see, God. Oh, I'm asking for the blessings to come down today, God. You said when the praises go up, the blessings come down, God. I'm asking for the kind of blessings that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, God. I'm asking you for you to come, God, in ways that only you can come to wow us this morning, God, that we will be like, ooh, God. We will have the anointing of David on our lips. Look what God has done. Our cup runneth over, Holy Spirit. Oh, God, our cup runneth over in the mighty consciousness of love. I say thank you, God. Oh, I say thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you right now for all that is, God. I thank you for this spirit of love in this season, God, to remind us that the real reason for the season is love. It's love. The real reason for our season on the planet is love, God. And so I'm just grateful to return to the atmosphere of love, to be reminded to walk in love, to be reminded to choose love in every situation, God. And when I fall short, to choose love and have compassion in my own heart for myself, God. And that we will have compassion for ourselves when we fall short of the love, God. And know that you will never see us in any other way but as you, God. And so in this right now moment, I thank you for the eyes that always look upon us with love, that the eyes that will never judge, the eyes that always sees only the good and only the great in us. And so today, God, as we give thanks for the eyes of love, we give thanks for the consciousness of love, as we together say, amen. And so it is, I do, I say, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the wind, the earth, the wind, the fire, the... I'm saying it over and over again, right, y'all? Fire, the water, and the ethers. Good morning to the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the land and the soil. Good morning to every crevice in this universe. And to all the energy in it, we say good morning, universe. Good morning, universe. Good morning to our angels, our most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels. Good morning, archangels. Good morning, ascended masters, and good morning to our master guide and spirit guides as we invoke and invite the presence of all of those energies into this right now moment, into this call. Good morning. I just love stopping to pay homage to our ancestors. Yesterday was Miss Annie Mack's birthday, my mom, Anastasia McAdoo, and we just honored her with her favorite meals and her favorite dessert. Thank you, Mom, as I honor your presence, as we speak the names of our own loved ones who have made their transitions, but recognizing that there is never separation in spirit. And so today we invite those loved ones into this right now moment to come and be a part of this call this morning as we speak on belief today. Come, Anastasia McAdoo. Good morning, Mom. Good morning, Miss Colette Grant. And all of your loved ones, we honor them by pouring libations into the earth. And as we honor our ancestors, our known and unknown ancestors, we give thanks. And as I thanks, and as you give thanks, reminded that our ancestors are always around us, and that we can call their name and speak their names, and they will show up in our heart at any time. Thank you, ancestors. We honor you today. And as we stand in this right now moment, sit wherever we are in this present moment, giving thanks for the gift called you, the gift called me. And as we honor the gift of our presence, yes, your presence is a gift. And so I honor you and I honor myself, giving thanks for our presence, giving thanks for the gift that we are to the planet today, giving thanks for our gifts and our talents and our ability to shine as gods and goddesses on this planet. I give thanks. And as we honor those who will come behind us today, as we honor our seeds, our children, and as we bless their minds and bless their hearts, we give thanks for their presence in our life, the gift of our children. It's an honor. Each and every one of our children were a gift to us. Thank you, God. And as we give thanks for those who will come behind us that we don't even know yet, or those that are on their way, like baby Eve, my baby Eve. And she will be on this planet in March. I give thanks for her presence and all of those who will come behind her. We give thanks. I honor your presence this morning. Good morning, Love Journey family. Good morning, my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses, my millionaires and multimillionaires and billionaires and my inventors and writers, authors, and all of the new business owners. I honor and bless your presence this morning because the love in me honors and greets the love in you. The God in me greets and honor the God in you. The goddess in me greets and honor the goddess in you. And the love in me greets and honors the love in you and the light. Good morning, Love Journey family. You've tuned in to another episode of The Love Journey. And today we will be talking about belief. Yes, yes, yes. We're going to start off with reading from The Science of the Mind. And I'm super excited to read from today's episode. Well, really, it was yesterday's because it is... Yesterday was my mom's birthday, so I want to read it. I said, well, we didn't read it yesterday. And I'm going to read it, and guess what it says? I am worthy. Come on, somebody. I am worthy. I just want you to marinate on the idea that you are worthy right now. Not tomorrow. Not when you do something amazing. But just because you were born. You are simply worthy. And I really want you to take this in. As we speak on this today, I really want you to just own your worthiness. You see what I love about, and I'm going to read it in 1 second, but you know, y'all know I got to say something about it, right? What I love about understanding or recognizing or becoming present to the idea that I was worthy the day I was born became a powerful tool for me to remind myself when I start having that mind chatter that, well, guess what, I didn't show up good or that didn't, whatever reasons my mind wanted to take me somewhere, and then I stop and remind myself I was worthy the day I was born. You see, the I am that I am presence called forth to bring me to this planet for such a time as this. And I was worthy way before I was even put in the womb of my mother's belly, because God had plans of success for each and every one of us. And so I am worthy. You are worthy. And it says, the title says, I am worthy and good enough. That's something to really think about. Not only are you worthy, but you're good enough. Walt Whitman, which is one of my favorite philosophers, once said, re-examine all you have been told in school or church or any book and dismiss whatever insults your soul. Come on, y'all. Let me say that again. Walt Whitman, one of my favorite philosophers, re-examine all you have been told in school or church or even in any book and dismiss whatever insults your own soul. You see, Ernest Holmes once said, the greatest good that can come to anyone is forming within them an absolute certainty of themselves and of their relationship to the universe, forever removing the sense of heaven as being outside of them. Because why? Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Right here on earth, right here within you. Aren't human beings fascinating? I want you to check out this dichotomy. We know we've had an early childhood experience resulting in significant impacts on our self-worth. But how much suffering, time, therapy, and money has been spent on this? Whew. We also know, however, that we are each an individualized expression of the divine. Let me say that again. We also know, however, that we are each an individualized expression of the divine. There you have a potential conflict, right? I'm an expression of the divine having this awesome experience called Janine. Yet often we find ourselves feeling unworthy. Let me say that again. I know this might feel like a potential conflict, right? I am an expression of the divine having this awesome experience called Janine. Yet why is it that there's times when I feel so unworthy? Fundamentally, I know I am worthy of all God's good. You see, I know I'm sufficient in every area of my life. When I allow myself to think differently, then I seem to attract life experiences that cause struggle. Not all bad. For in that struggle, I choose to expand and grow by quantum leap. You see, that old story of unworthiness becomes my ticket for expansion, greater growth, intense learning. What would I leave you with today is you are already more than enough. It doesn't matter where you come from. It don't matter what you did. It don't matter what choices you've made in your past or today. Because God only sees you in the presence and the eyes of God. And so today's affirmation, I am worthy of the best life has to offer. I am always good enough to receive it. I am worthy of the best, and I am always good enough to receive it. I am worthy of the best life offers, and I'm always good enough to receive it. I am more than enough just the way I am right now. Come on, family. I want you to own that with me today. I am worthy and good enough just the way I am right now. I am more than good enough right now, just the way I am. You are more than good enough, family. And it's time for us to own the fact that nobody can do it like you. You see, whether you want to believe it or not, this is a special time in the planet just because you're here. Because you're here. You see, there will not be another time in this planet where you will be the you that you are now on this planet. There will never be. And you've been called to do some phenomenal, amazing, great things on this planet. You see, I've already made an agreement with the universe. I'm playing full out. I'm giving all my gifts back to the universe. You're going to get them all, y'all. And Janine will leave her name indelibly marked into the universe before she leaves, you will know I've been here. Yes, Janine Ann Ingram was on the planet in this year to this year. Whatever years that are, I don't know. But I tell you this, I will be remembered. I will be known on this planet that I left a great legacy of gifts that God so eloquently planted into my soul. What would be your dash today? You know what I'm saying? What would be your dash? From, you know, the two greatest times in the planet is the time you were born and the time you find out you were born. What would be your greatest legacy that you would leave on this planet? And that's what you should think about. Be your greatest legacy. How would you leave the planet? Would you leave the planet a little bit better than you came? That's something you need to think about. What would be your dash? What would they say when it's time to say you were born and now she's left the planet or he left the planet? What will your dash be? What will your thoughts be about that? What do you want people to say? I know. I want people to say she taught us how to love. Her greatest asset was she taught us how to live. Be love. I was asked yesterday, and then I'm going to move on to what the lesson's going to be about today. But I was asked yesterday to become a part of it's a book club, spiritual book club group. And I was like, look, I just want to read books with y'all. But you got to answer these questions. And one of the questions was, what is your greatest spiritual gift? So I was like, wow. Now, some few years back, I would not have known how to answer that question. I was so proud that it didn't take me long to answer that question. What is your greatest spiritual gift? Do you ever ask yourself, what is your greatest spiritual gift? Whew, that's something to think about, family. I know that's a lot to put on your mind, your greatest spiritual gift. And I was so proud to be able to answer that question without a lot of thought, without a lot of doubt, but with so much confidence that I knew that I came to the planet as a divine messenger of love, to teach love and be the example of what love is. That is what's up. That was a masterpiece in its own self, owning that. So today I want you to really think about what's your spiritual gift. What did the soul presence of you come to the planet to express as God? You see, I used to set goals and I used to do all these wonderful things. Now I sit with my soul and ask, what is it that you came to express on this planet? I'm ready to set my soul free because it's been hidden for too long. I've been hiding for too long. All right, family, I'm all in another subject. We're going to talk about belief today. This is Kim, what Christmas means to me. And y'all know Christmas means love to me. Love. And so Kim got the same idea. So.
Love that spans the test of time. I hope you find what Christmas means. Love that laughs, love that sings, love that steers the hearts of kings. I hope you find what Christmas means. Who would arise and dare to believe there's a paradise of hope and peace? Who would rise faithful and free? This kind of love will never cease. Love that fills you, love that flows, love that burns until it grows. I hope you find what Christmas means. Love that dreams, love that moves, love that nurtures every wound. I hope you find what Christmas means.
Good morning, good morning. That was Kim right here on the Love Journey.
Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. That was called What Does Christmas Mean? You know, I love Christmas, and I believe the real reason for Christmas is love. I think if you really want to know who Santa Claus is, Santa Claus is love. I mean, I said this girl crazy, but she is. Santa Claus is love. Who is Santa Claus? Santa Claus is you. All right, family, let's get started. We're going to talk about belief. We're going to talk about, I want to read to you this article. This will make me want to talk about belief today because it's five strategies that helped Jay-Z build an $800 million empire, right? And then we're going to talk about five strategies to shift your limiting beliefs. I'm going to start off with a little thought process that our beautiful, wonderful, amazing Jay-Z said. You know, yesterday was Jay-Z's birthday, too. Him and my mom was born on the same day. Great people were born on December 4th. Maybe great people born in December anyway, huh? Maybe Sagittarius might be the great sign, huh, y'all? I'm not a Sag. I'm Aries. So I'm just saying. All right. This is Jay-Z on Belief Family.
It's like, you know, don't listen to anyone. Everybody's scared. You know, everyone tells you how things worked out, but it worked out for you that way. Mm-hmm. So don't listen to anyone because their experience is unique to who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then a lot of people will try to put their fears on you. You can't do that. No, you can't do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they're just projecting. They're putting things that they don't believe that they can do on you. And you may possibly could do it. Like my uncle. Like, I don't think he meant that. And I know I'm killing him. I'm saying him so many times. I know he's going to be at Christmas. Like, why do you keep bringing this up? You know, my uncle, he was telling me, like, I'm never going to. My uncle said I never sell a million records. Mm-hmm. I sold a million records like a million times. You know, so he was, I'm sure he, I'm his nephew. I know he, I don't think he meant any malice.
He wanted the
he
best
just,
for you, but
he just was
didn't
projecting
believe.
His fears right. and things that, like, are you crazy? How are you going to do that? How? You know, I'm sure there's things that I do now that he can't believe that I was able to accomplish. But he couldn't even see it at the time.
Mm.
Yeah. So he was just projecting, putting his fears on me. So the whole thing is just, you know, and always believe you're great, even before anybody else believes it.
I love that. Always believe you're great, even before anybody else believes it. Let me tell you why I replayed that. I know we played it before on here. But I replayed that because I really want to, you know, kind of hone in on that. Why do you think Jay-Z said, believe that you're great before anybody else can believe it? Energy. I tell you. I know some people might feel like this, but my sister always get a little disappointed when I say this because she's a very traditional process of God. But I told her, I tell you, I have learned so much about God through Albert Einstein that it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable understanding when you begin to understand energy. You see, your belief in you, the power of your belief in you, I mean, when your belief system is so strong in you, it becomes so contagious that somebody else will believe in you. But guess what happens when you don't believe in you? You could. I don't know what happened, family, but I'm back. I apologize, family. I don't know what happened. But I'm back. So I was saying, I don't know where it kind of cut off at, but I'm just going to go back over the part. Why do you think Jay-Z said you got to believe in yourself before anyone else would believe in you? Well, he didn't say it like that, but that's basically what he was saying. It's because we got to, the belief system comes from our energy, and our energy is what comes back to us because the language of the universe is vibration. If the language of the universe is vibration, then whatever vibratory energies you're putting out there is what's going to come back to you. So if you're the greatest at whatever you do, but you don't believe in it, then you're going to get a knob of people who don't necessarily believe in what you're doing because you don't believe you. And it's interesting how people can tell you how wonderful, great, amazing, beautiful you are. And if you don't believe it, guess what? You will still walk around here with this non-belief process in how you move through life. That's why I wanted to play that. So let me just read this article. This is really some powerful thought processes I want you to think about when going into business. And then we're going to talk about shifting limiting beliefs. This is the strategies that Jay-Z took to acquire an $800 million empire family. An $800 million empire. Ever since he released his debut album, Reasonable Doubt, on his independent label, Rockefeller Records, in 1996, Sean J.V. Carter has proven that his entrepreneurial hustle and business acumen go far beyond selling albums. You see, Jay-Z's unconventional ascent from Brooklyn street corners to corporate boardrooms has caught the attention of billionaire business leaders like Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey. On his own, he's worth a cool $810 million. Together, Jay-Z and Beyonce are worth, guess what, approximately $1.2 billion, according to Forbes. Now, after the release of his highly anticipated 444 album earlier this year, the 48-year-old has kept the internet buzzing about his next power move. Power move, family. While it's hard to predict the future, below are the strategies that have contributed to his success so far and put him on track to potentially being a rapper's first billionaire. Come on, y'all. Now, just a little side note. I was reading Forbes last night. There's 2,043 billionaires in the world. 10 of them are black. But listen, what's interesting about that is this. Last year, it was 12 billionaires and two fell off. 12 black billionaires and two fell off. But I wanted to say, which I thought was interesting, reading how majority of those black billionaires became billionaires is because of oil, the black gold. Isn't that interesting? Black gold, baby, oil. Yes, yes, yes. All right. So the first thing Jay-Z said is bet on yourself. You got to invest in you, baby. After failed attempts at getting signed to major record labels, Jay-Z and his two business partners, Damon Dash and Kareem Burke, started their own label called Rockefeller Records in 1996. He released his debut album later that year, and the Brooklyn rapper eventually caught the attention of label executives. Music executive Kevin Lyles, who worked for Def Jam at the time, told the Wall Street Journal that Def Jam tried to offer Jay-Z a traditional signing deal, to which the rapper replied, "I own the company I rap for." Instead of signing with Def Jam, Jay-Z and his co-founders sold half of Rockefeller to them in 1997. For a reported $1.5 million. Wow. Now I want you to think about that. He said that the first thing you got to do is invest in yourself. I want you to marinate on that. Bet on yourself. Why are we so ready to bet on everything else and everybody else, but we don't bet or invest in ourselves? Now look at that. He said, forget it, I'll start my own record label. You don't have to sign me. And then they came to him and bought half of his record label for $1.5 million. And then 7 years later, Def Jam bought the other half of Rockefeller for $10 million. In 2005, Jay-Z was named the CEO of Def Jam in a deal that allowed him to continue to run Rockefeller. He served as the CEO for 3 years. I want you to think about this. Now, yeah, you might say, well, that's Jay-Z, But I want you to think about this. I thought about this last night because, and I wanted to talk to us about it. So I get a call. I'm going to Texas next week. And so I called them. My friends who called me and asked me, would I go to Texas with them, right? They're signing a $1 million deal for a franchise they're buying, right? I'm like, well, what can I do for y'all? Why do you all want me to come? You know, when you're signing, we just want your energy in the building. We paying you. We're going to pay for you to come. We paying for your room, your board, your food, and just your presence. Now, I thought about that. I was like, wow. Not once am I getting paid. Then I get a call, another call from another girl next year. She's sending for me to come because she's signing for a big deal. And she said, I want your energy in the room. I'm like, Now, I never thought that you can create such a powerful presence that people pay you just to be, just for your presence. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm looking at this and reading this article last night. I'm looking, wow. When you truly start to invest in yourself, your presence would be so powerful that people will want to pay for your presence just to be in the room. But just marinate on that, family. Just marinate on that. Marinate on that. Jay-Z says, see the value of the underdog, number two. Jay-Z's dealing with major corporations show that he's not afraid to go with the market underdog. You see, in 2003, instead of pursuing a sneaker deal, which is called gym shoes, with the industry leader Nike, he entered a four-year partnership with Reebok. Now, the value of that deal was not disclosed, but the company reportedly sold about 10,000 pairs of gym shoes priced at $150 each within the first hour of their new release. Now, that's powerful, y'all. In 2010, instead of partnering with the number one search engine, Google, he launched a million-dollar marketing campaign for his book called Decoded that doubled as a promotion for Microsoft's search engine Bing, which was fairly new to the market. Now, I want you to think about that. He believed in himself so much that he didn't go for the number one. He knew that his presence was so powerful that he'll make whatever company he with number one. You see what I'm saying? When he decided to buy a percentage of an NBA team in 2004, he purchased one-fifth of the Nets, not the Knicks. Now, back in 2004, you remember the Knicks was the top game, and eventually moved the team's location from New Jersey to his hometown, Brooklyn. According to Forbes, the music-turned business mogul invested $1 million into the team and sold his stake in 2013 with a reported gain of approximately 135%. In some ways, because of that business focus that he's always had throughout his career and that he's done a very good job of publicizing, he's seen more as a deal maker than a sellout. Think long-term, family. In 2006, Jay-Z promoted his album, Kingdom Come, with a Budweiser commercial shown during Monday Night Football. That was calculated. I want you to listen to what I just said. In 2006, Jay-Z promoted his album, Kingdom Come, with a Budweiser commercial shown during Monday Night Football. Around that same time, he was named co-brand director of Budweiser Select Beer. Now, over 10 years later, Jay-Z continues to have a corporate relationship with Budweiser as the sponsor of his annual Made in America festival. You see, similarly, Jay-Z's relationship with Live Nation dates back to 2008 when he signed a $150 million deal with them after leaving Def Jam. You see, this deal allowed Live Nation to get a piece of the artist's merchandising, licensing, and touring revenue, which helped him launch his own management company called Roc Nation, family. Roc Nation. The company has since expanded beyond music into sports and even invest in startups. Almost 10 years later, Jay-Z and Live Nation are still business partners, and they recently signed a decade-long touring partnership valued at $200 million, family. Now, this is powerful. Control your image. In 1999, Jay-Z and Damon Dash launched Rockerwear Clothing. 8 years later, they sold Rockerwear to Iconics Brand Group for a reported $204 million. Crucially, this deal allowed Jay-Z to keep creative control and his stake in the clothing company's operation. Control your brand and your image. Five, use your platform to serve the greater good. I just want you to think about that. Use your platform, whatever your platform, to serve the greater good. Yes, yes, yes. That's powerful. You see, Jay-Z has recently become more vocal about using his platform to positively impact others. In a guest column for The Hollywood Reporter, the mogul reflected on his desire to amplify discussion around issue of social justice and the decision to produce documentaries about Khalif Browder and Trayvon Martin. You see, social justice isn't a political issue. He writes, it's a human issue. It's a story of empathy. When we are able to identify that we are all not perfect and have compassion for someone else, we can move forward as a society. In an essay for Time earlier this year, Jay-Z announced that he would be donating to organizations like Color of Change and Southerners on the New Ground to advocate for releases of jail fathers who have not been convicted of a crime but are unable to afford bail. Last year, his music streaming services Tidal and Roc Nation reportedly donated $1.5 million to Black Lives Matter and other organizations. And since 2013, Jay-Z has funded the Sean Carter Scholarship Fund, helping students from economically challenged backgrounds to attend college. I don't know, family. I just wanted to read that to you. Because I think it takes a certain kind of belief system in yourself to rise from the projects of Marcy Homes in Brooklyn to an $800 million on your own and with your wife, $1.2 billion corporation. I think it takes a lot to rise above being from the streets of Brooklyn in a project, coming to where he is today. And so I thought those techniques would be some powerful things to think about. So here's five techniques I want to leave you with to shift your limiting beliefs. And as we move through into the new year, I want us to really start thinking about what is our belief system. You see, many people think one little tiny little thought really doesn't make that much of a difference. But guess what? It does. You decide how you think and what because or can't, according to research. Our brains can produce upwards of 50,000 thoughts a day. Did you know your brains can produce 50 thoughts a day? And 99% of those thoughts are repeated daily. Your thoughts become your belief, which in turn becomes your mindset, depending on what you believe is possible. You will or won't take certain actions, which then will lead to specific results. If you think you have no future as a writer, good chance you won't. You won't even enroll in a writing class. You won't start a blog or write a book. You see, how does belief impact our results? I want you to think about that. How does belief impact our results? How does your beliefs impact your results? What are your thoughts? First is the thought. And what's so powerful about God is that our thoughts don't instantly manifest, because if they did, we probably wouldn't want 99% of the things we think about. It don't manifest until it becomes a belief, until it's in our heart. See, the things you think, the things you speak, and once it's a belief, then it becomes manifested once it's in the heart. Thoughts plus words plus belief. Thoughts plus words plus feelings. All it's the feeling nature that's the powerful nature that manifests. So it's important to see what we're thinking, because eventually we keep thinking that if we're thinking 90,000 thoughts a day and most of them are repeated thoughts, eventually it becomes a part of our belief system and it becomes a part of our manifested results. So for those of you who want different results, you have to start to be aware of how your thoughts and beliefs impact your choices and actions. Let's talk about that. When we don't think we're good enough, we stay in bad relationships. Well, I'm too fat. Nobody else will really want me, so I'm going to stay in this relationship right here. Well, I'm this, and so nobody will want me to in their job, so I'm going to stay in this low-paying, mistreating me kind of job because I don't think I could get a better job. Or I don't have the potential, or whatever. You see, when you have a positive belief, a belief that helps you move towards your potential versus a limiting belief that moves you away from your desires. How many times do we think thoughts that take us away from our potential. You alter the direction of your life. Sometimes it could be a small curve, and other times it could be a major rerouting. Please know that we all have limited beliefs. You're not alone in this one. The only difference is some people are better at identifying them and rewording them. Your individual beliefs are similar to chapters in a book. And when you put them all together, you have a belief system that becomes your story. And the more you repeat your story, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you become it. And the more you become it, the more you become it. The more you become it. Like, I'm not the type to start a business. Therefore, I'm not creative. You see, therefore, one seemingly insignificant belief repeated over and over again can be the catalyst for all you create in your life or don't create. Here are a few examples in, like, relationships. The only way I can be happy if I'm in a relationship. Relationships are not my thing. I really don't never want to be married. I'm not worthy of having a partner. I don't like being vulnerable. It makes me uncomfortable to ask for something. How about healthy living, well-being? I can't work out in the morning. I'm not that good at staying on track. Working out is too hard for me. I'll never be able to get in shape given all my commitments. I'm just way too overweight. I'll never be able to lose this weight. How about business? I'll be successful if I can make over a certain amount of money or fill in the blank. I'll be happy when I change jobs. Oh, I hate my job. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at marketing. It's hard to find a job with a boss who's a good manager. I'm not the creative one. Being a manager is not for me. And the list can go on and on for all of us. But what's interesting is we have different beliefs in different areas of our life. Meaning we can have positive beliefs about our career. We could, example, give me any problem and I could figure out a solution. And then have a completely limiting belief about our relationship. I'm not good enough for a relationship. But you just said in your career you could figure out a solution. So today's exercise I want to leave you with. 5 steps to shifting a limited belief. I want you to take some minutes today. What areas, or if all areas, are you having limited beliefs? I want you to take 5 minutes. Write down at least 3 limited beliefs you may have in any area of your life, your career, your relationships, your finance, and your health. And then I want you to, does this belief add or detract from achieving your goals or exploring your potential and enhancing the quality of your life? And be honest. Does this belief add to your life or do it detract from your life, from your goals? Exploring your potential and enhancing the quality of your life, does this belief enhance the quality of your life? Three, does this belief system align with your core values? So if health and family are core values, does your belief that working out is too hard for you to honor your values? So you eat healthy, but you don't exercise. So you eat healthy and feed your family unhealthy things. What are you? What is your belief system? Does they align with your core values? What is your belief system about your job and how you see yourself in your job? Now fast forward 3 years and ask, if you keep honoring this belief, what will it cost you? For example, how will your belief that you're not good at marketing impact your business in a longer term? Or how would your belief about you not being good enough honor your life 3 years from now? What would it look like if you keep saying, I'm not good enough? 3 years from now, your life's going to prove to you that you're not good enough. And you're going to have not a good enough experiences. Number 5, rewrite that belief as an affirmation that brings you forward and toward your potential or your goals. I want to remind you today that life is an inch in inches.
inch by inch life within. So many of us try to take on these big elephants in the room. But I want you to know today, life is a sense, inch by inch. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Well, I don't want you to bite no elephants, and I don't want you to eat an elephant. It's just a figure of speech. But how do you take on life inch by inch? You see, it's based on our beliefs we take certain actions. If you don't think you're a good public speaker, you probably will not apply for your dream job if it involves any speaking requirements. And that would be a shame because we can all improve. You can definitely learn to be a better speaker with effort and practice. Limiting beliefs actually help us get better when we have the courage to face them and change our perspective. See, we love to hear your story. And we love to hear success stories. But we always think that it's somebody else who could do it, not us. You see, I never thought I would be a public speaker. And honestly, when I started this line, I did not think I was a great speaker at all. I did not think that I could stand before people and speak. And I can tell you some of the most amazing stories when I look back over it. But the only way to become good at anything that you want to be good at is to do it. I love Nike's expression, just do it. Just do it. You want to be a blogger? Just do it. Shot caller, a boss, whatever, just do it. Just do it. You got to just do it. You got to jump in and believe in yourself when nobody else believes in you. Even if nobody else believes in you. You got to jump in there and do it. And so today, my message to you is believe in you. Invest in you. Bet on you. And I want you to marinate on that for a minute. Just marinate. So did you marinate on that idea? What would life be like? I want you to just imagine. What would life be like if you truly believed in the gift that you are to the planet? If you truly could live the life that you want, what would it look like? Would you be this dynamic, masterful storyteller, magnetic? Would you be this billionaire, philanthropist, real estate mogul? Would you be an actress? I don't know what that would look like. But I know this. It starts with a belief. It starts with a belief. I remember when that millionaire came in and talked to us. I never thought about money like this, but he said, what is money? And everybody was answering the question. You know, everybody was giving a definition of money. He said money was ideas backed by confidence. Ideas backed by confidence. Well, when you get to the root of confidence, confidence is a certain belief system, right? So when you think about different Warren Buffetts and Robert Smith, and if you don't know, Robert Smith is the richest black man in America right now, and you hear their different conversations, they say the same thing Reverend Knight said. It's not money that makes money. It's ideas. But it's ideas that you believe enough in to bring them into fruition. A lot of times we don't bring our ideas because we don't believe, oh, nobody's going to buy that. I remember writing my book, and I remember thinking when I got through with the script and everything was done, I remember thinking, who's going to want to read this? Oh, ain't nobody going to want to read this. I mean, all kind of thoughts was coming to my mind, and I had to move past it because the thoughts was trying to keep me from finishing the book. Why am I telling you this story? Because no matter what we do in life or where we want to go in life, no matter the age, color, status, if we don't have belief, confidence, then who will believe in you? So today, family, I leave you with this one thought. invest in you and believe in you. Invest in you and believe in you. If you work in a job and you desire to be an entrepreneur, let that job finance your goals or whatever it is that you want. But make sure you're taking some of that money, not just to pay bills, but to invest in what it is that you want for your future. Let that job invest in you. Whatever their dreams are, take a portion of that money to invest in you. And I'm going to tell you, I believe it's more important than investing in anything you can invest in the world, because everything in this world is volatile. You can invest in stocks. I remember the first time I invested in futures. I put $5,000 in. If things had went well, I would have made $100,000 in 3 months, right? And so I knew that I was going to do this thing right here. I knew this $5,000 was going to turn to this $100,000. Well, guess what? I bought in the idea of the future, and guess what? The future didn't go no well because I didn't make that $100,000. But I learned a very valuable lesson, and I've invested in lots of stuff. Some turned out good, some didn't. But there is no investment more powerful than an investment in yourself, and that's a for sure return on your dividend when you invest in you. Let me say that again. I don't know if you got it. You can't lose when you best invest in you. Let me say it that way. You cannot lose when you invest in you. Today, family, make you a priority. Invest in you. Everybody's into all this investing in everything, and that's a good thing. We should. You know, you got some money, put in Bitcoin, put it in Bitcoin. You got some money to do real estate, do it. But nothing is more safer than investing in you. Especially now that, you know, I'm starting to see life from a different perspective. You know, people paying you for your essence, you know, just because you walked in a room, because of your brand. When you invest in you and your brand becomes so powerful that people want you in the room just because. Now, no, I'm not doing $800 million yet, but I'm just saying. Think about Jay-Z, Beyonce, Oprah, Tyler Perry. I'm not just, some people might not like them. I don't, you know, to me, it doesn't matter about me liking or not liking a person. You got to respect the game. You got to respect the game regardless if you like or don't like people. You know, I hear people say, well, I don't like Oprah. Well, it don't matter if you don't like her. It's about respecting the idea of where she came from and where she is today. I don't like Tyler Perry. I don't care. I like Tyler Perry. We have to respect the game of people being able to move from one level in life to the other. I'm not talking about the work that they do. You may not like a Jay-Z song. You may not like an Oprah Winfrey nothing. You may not like Tyler Perry movie. But you still, when you think about the idea of being able to move from one level to another, you got to respect people who are doing what you want to do. Whether you like the product they present to the world or not, it's not the issue. It's that they've been able to accumulate and manipulate the atmosphere enough to create millions and millions of dollars. Maybe that may not be your desire. Maybe you may only want $1 million, or maybe you just want enough to create the life you want. It's okay, because it ain't always about that big millions and millions of dollars. You could probably sustain a very good life at $500,000 a year, $100,000 a year, whatever that looks like. But I'm saying you still, the steps are the same. You know, you can ask God for $1 billion just like you can ask God for $1 million, just like you can ask God for $100,000. But are you ready to be accountable at that level? Whatever it is, you get to choose, but you don't have to like the people, but you got to respect the game. And the only way we learn success is from other people, because what did Booker T. Washington once say, and I'm going to leave you on this, success has footprints. Success has footprints, family. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Success has footprint. All right, any questions, comments, or concerns, you can star 6 or press 1 on Blog Talk. If you're on Blog Talk, and if you're on the teleconference line, star 6. All right, family.
that's my message for today. I want you to go forth and have a great, amazing, wonderful day. It's been a really an interesting time on the planet right now. I tell you, it's powerful. We just had a full moon. Women are coming into more their own. I mean, we just got the first black executive vice president in the National Hockey League. First black female neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital. First black judge in Alabama. I know that's really tripped out, but yeah, we just got our first female black judge in Alabama. And we got our first black president of entertainment of ABC. So I'm saying to you, it's a wonderful time to be a woman on the planet right now, especially being an African-American woman. Women are coming into their own. And so I want you, no matter what color you are, no matter if you're a man or a woman, I want you to come into your own right now. And I want you to own it. And so that's what today's message was really about. You taking the opportunity to believe into yourself so powerfully that you come into your own, family. I want to remind you again, today your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God. And remember, family, to choose love. You see, of all the things we can choose in life, we can choose love. Really, love is the only choice. Don't just live. Don't just dream. Your God has dreams. Live it, live it, live it. The power is in you. You got to work it. This is My Favorite Things by The Whispers. Have a great, wonderful, amazing, love-filled, joy-filled, money-filled day, family. See you at the top. See you at the top.